Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Coming to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. It's Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio. Brian Jones, Andrew Bogish in for Gio is off the rest of the week. Everybody is back together on Monday. PDB is here. Gio and Jones' official jockey, Billy Jockalone, is here as well. Soaking wet, 5'2", 137, the most recent measurements of Billy Jockalone.
One what?
137.
Wow.
Although I don't know what he did the 4th of July, he could have theoretically had a hamburger and been up to 139. Either way, still in that featherweight category. Ready to throw down with the likes of Conor McGregor, if necessary.
Go get him, Conor!
Mm-hmm.
Ha! Conor gonna get his ass kicked. Mm-hmm. Take that, Tierney.
Matt Vasgersian, MLB Network, and Sean Devaney of the Sporting News to come before we are done over these next 2 hours. But how about the Cleveland Cavaliers? Now, when Chauncey Billups withdrew from consideration to run their front office on Monday, my first thought was Dan Gilbert. Everybody else's was LeBron. Dan Wetzel wrote a very reasoned and logical column at Yahoo Sports that this is about, much like Tom Izzo, when LeBron was first a Cavalier, that he couldn't even get LeBron on the phone to discuss LeBron's future plans. And that was as LeBron was days away from free agency and the decision, and that silence from LeBron kept Tom Izzo at Michigan State. The first assumptions this week on Monday were that Billups did not believe LeBron was long-term committed to Cleveland this time around. Now, that may still be the case, but my first thought that it was about the owner came back up yesterday with ESPN reporting that the Cavaliers and Dan Gilbert lowballed Chauncey Billups, offering him just $1.5 million for this job as president of basketball operations and GM, when the going rate starts at $4 million. Mm-hmm. David Griffin was making just under $2 million, one of the lowest paid execs in the NBA, and then we know what that led to. So I still kind of think, and obviously LeBron is the elephant in the room here, and his future is somewhat uncertain, but Dan Gilbert's also, as we've seen at times, a really, really hard guy to work for, and if he's offering Chauncey Billups pennies, then maybe Chauncey Billups doesn't care about LeBron and just couldn't possibly work for Gilbert, even though they have this long-term relationship going back to Detroit.
Well, you are spot on with the history of Dan Gilbert and his executives, specifically GMs. We talked about once Griffin was not extended that this is what Dan Gilbert does. This is his MO. So if you've got a guy who's as accomplished as Griffin has been there at Cleveland, who's making just under $3 million, you bring in a guy in Chauncey Billups who's never played or been in that role before, who's an excellent basketball player, won a championship, but he's never been in this executive role before. Why would you offer him $2 or $3 or $4 million when you wouldn't give it to the guy who's assisted you in winning a championship? So I'm not surprised he only offered him $1.5 million. Now, there are theories that are being bantied about that he was lowballed, or the fact that there wasn't assurances that LeBron was going to be there moving forward once the 2017-2018 season concluded. I don't know if that's necessarily true, but the money, I can understand why Dan Gilbert, a pretty shrewd businessman, a very successful businessman, would go in and lowball someone who's never been in that role before. I could have kept David Griffin if I wanted to give someone $3, $4 million a year, but I didn't do that. He's accomplished. I bring in someone who I've had a working relationship with previously, although it was in a different entity. It was more of a sponsorship agreement. Now I want him to be the face of my front office, but he's never been the face of a front office before. Why would I give that guy $3, $4 million when the guy who previously sat in his chair has done so much for the organization, but I wouldn't even give him an extension?
Well, I mean, you make sense if I'm looking at it like an illogical Dan Gilbert. I mean, like, that's the thing. You can, I understand the point of Chauncey Billups is new to this. He's never done it before. He's not Phil Jackson, who's making, what, $12 million a year to run the Knicks. Mm-hmm. Danny Ainge gets paid much more than that and didn't have the same kind of experience going into the Celtics job. Other guys have come out of, you know, straight from playing or gotten their first chance for an organization and made more than this. And that's where the problem arises. Like, everybody knows what everybody makes. There are no secrets.
Right.
So they know what he's supposed to get for that job. And when you show up at 1.5 mil, he's not going to take it. And he shouldn't take
it. Well, I don't think that's the main reason he didn't take the gig. That's, first of all, it's a lot of work. And there, once again, there are no insurances. LeBron's going to be back. So here's a guy who has no experience in this space. And you're going to lose the best player on the planet possibly after next year. So what do you do going forward? You don't have that to lean on to attract other free agents to your ball club. No LeBron. Who wants to go play in Cleveland? They go back to the wasteland where they were when he made the first decision to go to Miami. So I think that you factor that in. If you're getting $1.5 million to do something, occupy a job you've never done before, I don't think that allows you to get your feet wet and you can go in there and prove that you're worthy of the gig. And then maybe if you don't get more money from your current employer, you can leverage it, your success, into more money at a different a stop. So I don't think it was as much to do about the money, because he knew going in that David Griffin hadn't been offered an extension and more money. So why would Chauncey Billups expect to get more money than the guy who just was not extended and who had been so successful there with Cleveland? You wouldn't expect to get that type of cash when you've never worked in that vein before. And so I think it has more to do with the future and it's LeBron's future. What happens with LeBron? And all these rumors are bandied about that he's going to move on after this like next season. I think that had more to do with it than the money.
So you think that this story that began at ESPN is spin? Is cover?
I'm not saying it's spin, but I would think it have more to do if you have never been, you've never done that job before, and you can't go in realistically expecting to make as much money as your predecessor who did the job and did it fairly well. And we'll see where Griffin lands. And his name was involved in with other organizations prior to him not being extended there with Cleveland. So if you're a rational human being, which I like to think Chauncey Billups is,
right?
How could I go in just because I have a close relationship with Dan Gilbert and think he's going to offer me more money than the guy who just left the building and who was pretty damn successful? We would agree, right, that Griffin was successful. He and LeBron bring a title home a year ago. So why would I think I'm going to get as much money or more money than that guy when I have never, ever been in this position before as an executive?
Well, maybe let's just hypothetically, okay? David Griffin was making, let's just say, $2 million. It's a little less than that. He's making $2 million. Let's say he wanted to get the four, which is the average around the NBA. Chauncey Billups could go in and go, how about you give me three? And we call it a day.
No.
And they say 1.5, and he goes, no way.
Well, Chauncey, once again, have you been an executive? Show me your body of work. Where's your bona fides in this position?
Well, you came to me.
I know I came to you.
The guy came right to me, so you must want me.
I do want you, but that doesn't mean you can come in here and rake me over the coals. You can't come in and rob me when you have nothing to show me on your resume where it says, I'd be a damn good GM. I'd be a damn good head of basketball operations. Show me on your resume. You can put that on there, but where's the empirical evidence of that?
Well, but no, but that would make sense if Chauncey came in and said, I want Phil Jackson's money to run the Cavaliers, but he's asking to be paid in accordance with the rest of the people who have his job.
No, you can't. You can't until you have a body of work and you prove yourself.
Well, but he's not me. He's not giving it, you know, Dan Gilbert's not hiring some, like, third-level assistant GM from some other team out of nowhere to give him his first job.
He might as well be.
That person can take $1.5 million.
That guy, the third-level GM, he can go in there and ask for more than Chauncey Billups because he's been in the room.
Yeah, but
he's been in that atmosphere. So Chauncey, we know him as the player, just like we knew Phil Jackson as the coach.
Yeah.
Right? Do we know him as head of basketball operations? No, we do now.
I can't believe I can't believe that you're defending Dan Gilbert in this situation.
Why would you?
Because you can't go. He's lowballing folks. That was a problem with David Griffin.
Here's an example. Let's say our buddy Spitz.
Yeah.
Our boss.
Yes.
Now, I'm not wishing this on him.
Eric looks great today, by the way.
Yeah. He's what?
He looks great today.
You've already seen him?
No. I just assume he does.
Oh, you're kissing behind before we even go to the after-show meeting?
We're not having one of those today.
Why not?
Because Gio's not here.
We're still Eric having Spitz. It. Gio doesn't have to be here. When I'm not here, they have them.
Right.
So we're having it.
We're having it.
We're not having it.
You just heard it from the voice.
Ending at 9:15.
It's ending at 9:15. You're done?
At least my part is.
What's happening at 9:16?
I want to go home.
Oh, you want to go home.
Yeah.
I got you. Okay. All right. It's going to be a quick meeting. So, let's say there's an opening there.
Uh-huh.
Program director. They said, Brian Jones, we want you to be the next program director. You've been on the air here at CBS Sports Radio going on 5 years now. We want you to be the program director. I've never sat in that chair. I've never had that many post-it notes.
I can't make my own schedule.
Huh?
And now I'm making a schedule for the entire radio network.
I've never sent text messages to Brian Jones.
What's an ISDN line?
Sitting down eating my yogurt.
Hey, Len! Is Brian again today?
But you get my point.
He's PDing on remote from WQAM in Miami.
Hey. Don't bring that up with Spitz. So my point is just because you're well-versed in the game or the radio, this medium, doesn't mean you qualify to sit where he sits. Now, if the job is offered, can I go in and ask for as much cash as Spitz is getting? No. You got to tread lightly, go in there and prove your worth, right? Even if I've had a close relationship with the hiree or the hirer.
Right.
I'm the hiree. Even if I've had that good relationship, they're still not going to offer me as much money as a proven guy like Spitz, are they?
But listen, let's use a specific example for you. If you knew what the other three panelists were making, and you might on the SEC show on Saturday afternoon,
I'm low on the totem pole. Go ahead.
Your logic is logical if if Chauncey was asking for more than the quote unquote average. But he's asking to be paid like everybody else is paid. And
that's not how it works. You don't in that position, you're not like the players. They can go out there and they can make that ask. When you're a guy who's never been in that chair before, you've never sat behind that desk, you haven't scouted one damn player, you haven't made one trade. There's no way you're going and you ask for that type of cash.
All right, so
this is a grand opportunity for me to go in and prove that I have the basketball acumen not only on the court but in the boardroom as well. He doesn't have to be an intern, but you're not going to get as much as an accomplished guy.
Can I get credit for this?
No.
Just keep a journal.
No, you don't get credit. You're going to get paid $1.5 million. Now go prove yourself.
The problem is when you prove yourself, he doesn't pay you then.
You know that going in. That may be another reason why he didn't take the gig. Because he's seen the track record of Dan Gilbert.
Then why'd he even talk to him for weeks?
Well,
because
they have a relationship. You go, Mama said ain't nothing wrong with talking.
Right.
Talk.
You can have a meeting and then go the next day, never mind, pass. This was going on for weeks. For weeks.
Well, maybe he had vacations planned and he was out doing something
he had
else.
Big three games to prep for in Charlotte.
No, he was probably on some island somewhere.
Listen, and I'll even
having
give
some
you,
me time.
I'll even give you this. If the average again is $4 million and Chauncey goes, you know what? You're right. I'm new to this. You're taking a chance on me. I need to prove myself. Let's do $3 million. Discount. Fine.
No.
The discount's not 1.5
mil. I'm not going to give you more than your predecessor who came in and helped
us. But your predecessor was grossly unpaid.
He was.
So that's not my fault.
That's how I operate. Now, you know my track record. You've seen that I have not extended any GMs. any of them, even ones that have assisted in winning championships.
Yeah, I'm not giving you a second contract.
You get 1.5. The job pays 1.5. Do you want it? Yes or no? It's pretty simple. And you have no experience in this space, but I'm giving you 1.5. Would you take that? I wouldn't take it because he now, Chauncey Billups, has lived the post-player life as a broadcaster. Mm-hmm. He has more freedom. He has less headaches other than making sure he shows up on set on time. I mean, so that freedom, man, once you get that, why would you want to jump back into that hopper where now everything's – there's a laser focus on you and all the decisions you make, and looming out there – is this big old question whether or not your best player is going to return after this next season.
It's not LeBron's fault.
It's
that's what we're getting at. That's what I'm getting at.
I think that's part of it. But the lowballing him, no. He should be lowballed. You have to go earn your keep, man. Now when it's time for me to negotiate, hopefully Spitz and Chernoff are not listening when I said
no,
it.
No.
Okay? Don't lowball me. All right? That's for Chauncey Billups. Right,
LeBron was somewhere smoking a cigar at some fancy resort.
Cool.
Yesterday or which earlier one? This week. I don't know. I couldn't tell by just the viewpoint from the bar, but folks were leaving him alone while he was sitting back smoking
why
a cigar.
They? He's probably at one of those highfalutin resorts where there are a lot of other people.
He's
who,
among the poor people.
He's among. Yeah, he's amongst his version of the poor people.
Yeah.
And they enjoyed their space, and so they would leave him alone and allow him to do his thing.
Yo,
your Saudi oil prince friend is there. It's like, who's this pauper? Did you say million or billion? Oh, just million, huh?
Oh, no, he's a billionaire.
I'll have a gin and tonic.
That new Nike deal is worth a billion.
That's big time, man.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Anybody want to join me in not blaming LeBron for this? We'll ask Sean Devaney around 8:40 a.m. Eastern who we're blaming for no Chauncey Billups and who has kept Kobe Altman technically in charge of the Cleveland Cavalier front office as they now go to Plan B, which I don't think anybody knows what Plan B is because we thought Chauncey was an easy hire, and now he's not. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. A Brad Heller update is on the way, and Colin Kaepernick wins a race with Brian Jones next on CBS Sports Radio.
This is Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to help you choose the brakes that are an exact fit for your vehicle. Brands you trust like Brake Best and Wagner ThermoQuiet. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the brake parts you need at guaranteed low prices. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices. Every day, Brian Jones, Andrew Bogish, in for Gio, Gio and Jones here on CBS Sports Radio. In our final hour, Matt Vasgersian, MLB Network, and Sean Devaney of the Sporting News will join us. Tomorrow's show, by the way, another Pete Bilotti production. Astros GM Jeff Lunau will be on the show. Houston is running away, not just with the American League West, but with the American League as a whole. Altuve, Correa, Springer, Keuchel, McCullers, team is stacked. Just took the Yankees to the woodshed last weekend.
My wits end with the Astros, man. I don't want to talk down Astros.
You can sit that one out. Bill Ryder will also be on the show tomorrow night or tomorrow morning. A little NBA talk with our new 6 to 10 p.m. Eastern host here on CBS Sports Radio. Colin Kaepernick went to the land of the Joneses.
I don't think they were Joneses when they were there.
Before this Jones went. But first, it's a Heller, not from Ghana.
From hell.
Here's Brad with your update.
All right, guys, thank you. The Utah Jazz may actually get something in return for losing Gordon Hayward. The Jazz and Celtics reportedly talking about a sign and trade because Boston needs to create cap room for Hayward's max deal. Marcus Smart, Jay Crowder, and Avery Bradley among the names mentioned that could go to Utah. Meanwhile, Deion Waiters is staying with the Miami Heat, 4 years, $52 million. Andre Robertson reportedly staying with the Thunder, 3 more years and $30 million. Nick Young going from the Lakers to the Warriors. Baseball, 2 games in Atlanta. Those aforementioned Astros put up a whopping 26 runs.
Here's the 2-2, and he hits it. Pow!
past the shortstop into center field around third base, Aoki, and Springer drives in the go-ahead run for the Astros. It's a 5-4 ball game.
Steve Sparks called it Astros Radio Network. George Springer, 3 of Houston's 16 hits in a 10-4 rout of the Braves. The Astros are 31 games over 500, and they're 31-9 on the road this season. The Dodgers also keep winning, 22 out of 26. They blank the Diamondbacks at home, 1-0. Alex Wood is 10-0 with an ERA of 1.67. He went 7 innings and struck out 10. Meanwhile, the Royals keep on rolling.
Here's the 0-1. Swing and a drive into deep right field. Going back is Haniger. It is gone! Salvador Perez to the opposite field.
Ryan LaFever, Royals Radio, calling the go-ahead two-run home run in the 10th inning. Royals beat the Mariners in Seattle 9-6. They've won 6 of 7 and move to within a half a game of the Indians in the AL Central. Cleveland lost again at home to San Diego 6-2. The Rangers snapped the Red Sox 6-game winning streak 8-2. Boston, though, still up 4 games on the Yankees, who lost at home to the Blue Jays 7-6. That was despite home run number 29 for Aaron Judge, which leads the majors. Giants are playing well. They've won 7 of 8, 5-4 over the Tigers. And Nashville's 4th of July celebration on Tuesday actually caused damage to the Titans Stadium. A fireworks shell landed in the upper deck and detonated, causing damage to the concrete and seats. Nobody was injured. The damage, though, is not expected to interfere with any upcoming events. Guys.
Brad, thanks so much. We'll see you again in about an hour or so. So Colin Kaepernick, who has obviously come up many a times on this show over the last couple of months, spent his 4th of July in Ghana on a serious mission, so to speak, a personal mission. But
went with the Hook'em Horns, Marquise Goodwin.
Yes, but is that not where the Jones clan
88%,
originated?
88% Ghanaian, according to Ancestry.com.
Mm-hmm.
And the other, I was 3% Asian. Uzbekistan,
right. Okay.
And 9% European.
Okay.
Something like that, yeah.
Now, I think Kaepernick's a 23andMe guy, but still, the same thing is, he goes, and it's just, I don't know, you know me, and,
what?
Well, on this front, I defend Colin Kaepernick. There are certainly times where he's made a couple of very questionable decisions along the way, and while fighting a good fight, has probably said a few things that he shouldn't have said. But the overall mission of him at the moment, to me, is a valid one and certainly one worth fighting. It's just he went to Ghana to learn about where he came from,
mm-hmm.
where his people came from. And again, everyone flips out because, you know, the tweet he sent out or the post is, how can we truly celebrate independence on a day that intentionally robbed our ancestors of theirs? And I know that's inconvenient to hear for some,
mm-hmm.
but it's also the truth.
Well, it is the truth, but you also have to understand what you're celebrating. You're celebrating independence from your former ruler, the British. So I don't understand how he would equate that, the slave trade, with Independence Day, which is celebrating the colonization of America by the British. I understand, you know, holistically his message, and you know, even more that what comes to mind even more for me during the 4th of July is something that Frederick Douglass wrote. What is independence, or what is July 4th to the Negro? And if you ever get a chance, check it out. It's beautifully written, and it talks about how you celebrate independence, but yet you have people who are in chains and they're doing providing slave labor for you, but yet you speak of this independence, which all people in this country were not enjoying. So I think that's more apropos than what Colin was doing, going back, tracing his heritage, which is fine. I understand that. But I don't understand how you would equate the Declaration of Independence, July 4th, and all that with the slave trade.
Well, isn't it because we gained independence as a country and then
right.
promptly took people's independence away? Isn't that a
I
point?
Understand that, but that was going on way before the America got its independence.
All right, that's
that was
fair.
Happening.
Okay, I mean, I can't argue with that. I just, well, I guess my immediate defense is, like, everybody's immediate reaction to him, well, not everybody, but if you don't like Colin Kaepernick, he can't write. And this immediately makes you angry and dismissive. And all the guy did was go back to the place where his ancestors came from to explore a thing that I think people just don't want to talk about.
Well, of course they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to talk about the stance he's taken. That's it. Because they have nothing of value to add to the conversation other than to hate. Because they're misguided. But once again, great. Go find your heritage, your lineage, something I want to do at some point. But to then, in my estimation, tie that into the Declaration of Independence, if you want to speak about how during this independence, not everybody was free, not all men were created equal, fine, we can discuss that. But the slave trade had been going on, for well over a century prior to the Declaration of Independence and America receiving its freedom from the British.
He has a Frederick Douglass quote in his the Instagram caption to the video that he put up there.
Great read.
Yeah, I don't think I knew
what
about that.
What is the 4th of July to the Negro? Yeah, I read it when I was in college. An excellent read, and that's if you want to talk about freedoms and how the hypocrisy of the Declaration of Independence and the 4th of July. Read that.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. To the phone lines we go for the first time this morning.
Car, you sound like being blackballed. If you have someone like Pete Carroll, who is the most alt-left radical there ever is, and it said that day that...
All right, John.
John, the first time
you said it, I thought you were being... It was an accident, but clearly you're not.
Yeah, he's a right-wing nut, as you can tell from his comments. And how's he playing the race card? This is race reality. You haven't lived it. He's lived it. I've lived it. Many of living it. So the whole race card, as you said earlier, Bogus, a lot of people don't want to broach the topic because they have nothing of value to bring to the conversation. They're in denial. They will never, ever come to terms with our history. We have a history. That's why they're trying to scrub textbooks in my home state of Texas. They don't call them slaves. They call them workers from Africa. Why would they go to those lengths?
Wait. You're kidding,
workers,
right?
From Africa. That's what they call the slaves. Yeah, no, I'm not kidding. I wish I was kidding. And they're trying to rewrite history all the damn time because they don't want to come to terms with it. Just like John in Detroit doesn't want to come to terms with it. Race card my ass. That's race reality. Deal with it, jackass.
This Texas school book thing, how do I not know about this?
Well, look it up.
I'm going to, because that's utterly ridiculous.
And it's utterly ridiculous, his comments and others like him. We don't want to sit here and be mired in this conversation, but we are going to be mired in this conversation until sick people like John will come to terms with our history, come to terms with what's going on in our country.
Well, and again, the idea that these guys should just shut up and play is, to me, such a ridiculous thought to have. And to tell these men and women, going back to female athletes that fight for equality, Megan Rapinoe comes to mind right away, to tell them they shouldn't have thoughts and beliefs and that they shouldn't voice them and try and make things better is just an utterly ridiculous request of another adult in this country. And again, the idea that if you don't like it here, you should leave is another preposterous thought.
Well, they should leave.
Well, I mean, that is partially
the
response.
And I've had someone yell at me in Austin, Texas, go back to Africa. Knucklehead, I've never been to Africa. I'm from here. I'm from Lubbock, Texas. Why don't you go back to wherever the hell you came from?
But I mean, I also too that like there are people, and if you look at it in one way, like, whether or not you agree with Colin Kaepernick's message, I think you kind of owe him at least a little respect for saying it out loud. And he's, by the way, I keep having this conversation with people that act as if he's on the street corner begging for NFL work, that he somehow regrets his decision to kneel for the anthem and do the things he's done since then. He doesn't care. he's okay with not playing again. That also doesn't mean that he's not committed to playing, like John Lynch said last week. He said what he said because he believed it. He has right. stood by it. He's yes. actually backed it up by doing things in communities across this country, which everyone told him he had to do, and then he did it, and you still don't give him credit for it. But he's actually at least been man enough and courageous enough to say things out loud. There are people who believe things just as strongly as he does in this realm, or things that you and I might disagree with, that don't even have the chutzpah to say it out loud. He's at least done that. And the fact that it's, I don't know, I just, why people choose to dismiss other people's feelings. And maybe I'm probably at times guilty of being too lenient and listening to things. But Colin Kaepernick's history and his beliefs about his history and what's going on in the present are real. And if you're just dismissing them out of hand without actually processing them and thinking about them and trying to discuss them and research them, then you are far more wrong than he's ever been.
I would agree 100%. And to get all so riled up because, and this only happens with black people. If we stand up and we shout about the injustices that we face, somehow we're un-American. We're not as patriotic. But you can get jackasses out there and they riot after their team wins a championship and they're patriotic. But I dare you stand up and you give voice and credence to the injustices, the inequality that you're facing, the disparity in incarceration rates. Don't you dare talk about that. Why not? It's affecting our community. There are other things that affect it as well. So why can't we do that as black folk? Why does that make you so uneasy? It makes you so uneasy because you haven't come to terms with the history of this country and you don't want to come to terms with it. You see everything that's right, none that's wrong. Well, do you go about your life the same way? If you do, you're a miserable person because there's nothing wrong as an individual doing some internal deliberation, and it's nothing wrong with you doing the same when it comes to your country.
Yeah.
It's good and bad, and yeah, there's been a damn lot of good about this country. I love my country. I just spent a whole 5 or 6 days with expats, folks living in another country, and while they're still Americans, they just chose to move to and live the island life. But that doesn't mean they don't love America. And for the upbringing I had in America and being embarrassed of growing up on welfare and now having a residence in another country and noticing that they don't have the same social safety net that we've enjoyed here, it makes me even more grateful for America. So I can have two thoughts and hold two opinions about my country, and the lion's share of it is positive. But that doesn't mean I turn a blind eye or a deaf ear to the things that we can continue to try to correct. And folks like John don't see it that way. They see it only one way. I was just in a back and forth with a guy on Twitter. You know, we got President Grand Bertha over in Poland ripping America. And yet, if that had been Barack Obama, all these so-called right-wing patriots would have been ripping him for apologizing for America, ripping America when you're abroad. But because it only matters when it depends on the party, and it also depends on the pigmentation, which will allow you to get away with that.
Let us go to a much, much lighter note. Tennis and spelling names that we're unfamiliar with.
Shabokova.
That's almost it.
Slovakia.
Just call her.
I'm going there.
Dominica, and you'll be good to go.
I'm sure the brothers get treated real well over there.
Geo and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We close out our middle hour with a tried and true tradition here on Geo and Jones. When it's tennis time, it is name time. A little wrinkled, though, today without the full cast of characters. Normally, I'm the judge of this bad boy. But I guess I'm still the judge and the host, but it's Brian against Pete. And we're not going to do pronunciations. Time to change it up a little bit, a little wild card. We're going to do a tennis spelling test this morning as Wimbledon inches towards the middle weekend in London at the All England Club. So, Brian, I assume you lost the last time, but we'll still call you the defending champ, so you can go first.
Who won the last time we did the spelling contest?
Not you, I'm sure,
you
and
guys,
not Mike, so probably Gio by default.
You don't give me enough credit.
Do you want a male or a female?
Man, the hell with them males. Give me one of them females.
Okay.
I just saw me a new one.
Women, you want to spell Sabolkova for America?
So who?
Sabolkova.
Sabolkova. Man, if she was 6'3 instead of 5'3. C-I-B-U-L-K-O-V-A.
Oh, bonus points for Brian Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Fine, you're one for one.
Yeah.
Pete is next.
Thank you.
Republican Pete. Would you like a male or female tennis player name?
I'll go male.
You'll go male. All
well,
right.
Here's a dude who's in love with Tom Hanks.
Hanks.
Of course he will.
This will be a little a little tougher than Hanks. Spell Tsonga, as in Joe Wilfred Tsonga.
P-S-O-N-G-A.
You know what? You were almost there.
Almost.
That's incorrect, but you knew that there was a tricky silent consonant.
Yeah.
It's T-S-O-N-G-A. So Brian leads 1-0.
Mm-hmm.
We'll skip Billy, go back to Brian. You want another female name you pick?
Oh, of course.
All right. Current events, she just won the French Open. Yelena Ostapenko. Please spell Ostapenko.
Ostapenko. Ostapenko. O-S-T-A. P-E-N-K-O.
Whoa, you're 2 for 2.
Boy, I know my Eastern Europeans.
Can't say them, but he can spell them.
True.
Pete, all of a sudden, you're in a big hole here.
That's Tsonga. I'll go female.
You're going to go female this time. All right. The lovely and talented Caroline Wozniacki. Give me Wozniacki.
W-O-Z-I-N-S-K-I.
You know.
What the hell was that?
That was Beseglia-esque. You got W-O-Z fine, and then you went off the rails.
No joke.
Wozniacki is spelled W-O-Z-N-I-A-C-K-I. Now, fingers crossed, the next time we play this, because Caroline is dating David Lee of NBA fame.
L-E-E.
Yes, the next time we play, she could be Caroline Lee.
Wozniacki
and David Lee. Yeah.
Also, so she said she... Well, I don't know if they necessarily trade up. It was because she was engaged to Rory or they were dating.
They were sending out wedding invitations.
Right.
And he bailed.
Mm.
And then I believe she spent a little time in the company of J.J. Watt. And now it's David Lee.
Yeah, she's getting around too.
No, she's just dating.
Okay, there's nothing wrong with dating.
Exactly.
I hear you. Okay.
All right, so Brian's leading 2-0. This is turning into a blowout.
Come on.
This is good versus evil. Brian, your next male or female tennis player name to spell. What would you like?
Excuse me?
Male or female?
You can ask me the same question. You know where I'm going.
All right. Garbina Muguruza. Garbina Muguruza.
What'd you call me?
Muguruza.
Muguruza.
Mm-hmm.
Muguruza.
Mm-hmm.
Muguruza. M-U-G.
Okay.
A.
Okay.
R-U-T-H-A.
No, not even close.
No. Muguruza.
Yeah, well, first of all, she's Spanish from the part of Spain that says their Z is as T-H. So M-U-G-U-R-U-Z-A.
Z-A.
Muguruza.
Well, they need to change their out.
Pete, the door has opened for you to slowly climb back into this one.
I'm ready. Let's go.
Male or female?
Anybody.
Okay. Let's go. An American, Sam Querrey. Now, I need Querrey, not Sam. Give me Sam Querrey.
Q-U-I-E-R-Y.
No, Pete.
Give yourself a bail.
Q-U-E-R-R-E-Y, Sam Querrey. Remains 2 for Brian Jones and 0 for Pete. And I'm going to assume this is the final round. This is the final female name I have. And Brian's going to need that.
Come on.
Certainly a favorite at the All England Club this week in terms of winning matches. Karolina Pliskova. Pliskova, please
push
spell
or push?
Pliskova.
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 Pliskova. Plish. P-L-E?
Plish. What?
P-L-E?
P-L-E?
E.
P-L-E? No.
Damn, Mario. Yeah. Pliskova. S-H-E-K-O-V-A.
No, there's no H. It's just P-L-I-S-K-O-V-A. Carolina Pliskova.
Pliskova.
Yes.
You said Plish.
I didn't. Yes, you asked did. Me, and I said Pliskova.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter. You still win anyway.
Thank you.
Can I try one more?
You sure? You want one more?
Yeah, come on.
All right. Give me Dominic Thiem.
T-E-A-M.
No.
You know it couldn't have been that easy, man. Thiem?
Well, you never know with Bogus.
T-H-I-E-M. T-H-I-E-M. Give me Andy Murray. Either name. Just give me one here.
M-U-R-R-A-Y.
You got it. Hey, Pete got one. He also, somehow, Murray has the most electoral votes, so Pete wins in the end.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, and it was the biggest crowd ever for his win. Yes.
Best win ever.
Thanks, Gio. Stay out so I can win these games every now and then.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Did you see what Daniil Medvedev did yesterday at
I
Wimbledon?
I did, and we're not talking about the former Russian president.
No.
No, I did see this. This would be the guy who was trying to tip the chair umpire.
Yeah, I don't think it was a tip.
No, it wasn't a tip?
No, he was coming off an upset of Stan Wawrinka in round one, the 5 seed. Then he lost in 5 sets to Mr. Medvedev yesterday and proceeded, as he was angry at a call in that 5th set, to throw money at the chair umpire as he was packing up and leaving the court.
Well, prior to that, he tried to have the umpire switched out, right? He wanted to change.
Yeah, and now my first thought was...
No pun intended.
When I first saw this, not knowing who the chair umpire was, I was afraid that it was a specific, like, act towards him or her. Mm-hmm. And then it apparently wasn't, but then I read that in a match last year where he was losing to American Donald Young, who's black, and the chair umpire was black. He actually said after a call under his breath, but it was audible, "I know you're his friend. Of course you are." Apparently in reference to them
really?
Both being black. And he got in, and like, he was, I forget what the technical tennis term is, but he was like disqualified after the match for saying that, for questioning the chair umpire's
legitimacy. I thought he was disqualified for tossing the coins at her.
Well, he had already lost yesterday.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess this was not his second racially motivated outburst, but the dude's throwing coins at the feet of Mariana Alves yesterday. And then his explanation was, "I was angry, I saw my wallet, and I just did it."
Wow.
And
He's a sorry tipper, man.
Tennis has some characters, man. And they go out strong when they go out. Throwing stuff, breaking rackets.
That's a new one.
Hinting at racism. I mean, they go, there's no ifs, ands, or buts with Daniil Medvedev. If you're not his favorite, you know about it in a hurry, and sometimes you get pennies.
Yeah, exactly. At you. He will toss coins
Who
at
knew?
You. Now, if I throw some ones at you, I like you.
Yeah,
coins, no.
Yeah, well, it's a completely different practice when it involves Brian Jones. Matt Vasgersian, MLB Network, Sean Devaney, Sporting News, and more with BJ and you, Gio and Jones, CBS Sports Radio.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.